Salamat gid, Harvest family, our extended family. Salamat gid to all my kababayans, fellow Filipinos who are here. Thank you for the sweet fellowship. Thank you for you know, manamit na pagkain. Thank you so much. And yes, indeed, this is a very refreshing experience for my wife and me. For all these years of serving the Lord, there are only rare opportunities for us to relax, to be refreshed. And this is a great moment that the Lord has given us. And thank you so much, Pastor Gary and the Harvest family. You're one of those who prayed diligently and earnestly for us to really get that visa, the key, so we could be here, and thank God for this opportunity. So, maayong gabi sa tanan, magandang gabi po sa lahat, good evening and half a day. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we count this as a great privilege to be here and to be one in our hearts and our minds to give you the worship that you deserve and to join our hearts together in listening to you as we study your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will just cleanse or will just clean up our minds from the things that would bother, things that would hinder us from listening to you. We pray that you will illumine us. We pray that you will soften our hearts. We pray that you will help us embrace your word and learn and meditate upon how we can practically apply your word in our daily life. So please be honored as we open your book and study from it as we allow you to speak to us tonight. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. The Word of God says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a good child, he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." May the blessings of the good Lord be upon the reading of his holy word. And tonight we're going to look at a man who made his life count for God. See that? And he really made an impact on the world because by God's grace, he chose the right course. He was just an ordinary man who accomplished extraordinary tasks because he chose to do certain things for God. And tonight, you and I too can discover how to make our lives count through the choice of the cause for which we are to live. Remember, we should make our life count for the cause of Christ. Remember that. Making your life count for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and verse 24, Jesus said very powerfully, he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him experience self-death he should die to self and take up his cross daily, voluntarily taking up his cross daily and follow me. As I follow my Heavenly Father in perfect obedience to accomplish the plan of redemption for men, to the extent of dying the criminal's death, dying at a cross, you too should have the same attitude. You should have the same mindset. For whosoever, Jesus Christ said, will save his life, he will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we live our lives in a paradox. A paradox is a statement that sounds self-contradictory. Example, the way to the crown is through the cross. You can only find life by losing it. You can only live by dying. You can experience resurrection life only when you take up your cross to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And my brothers and sisters, tonight, it is my prayer that you will choose to live your life for the cause of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one way of saying you are losing your life, and in such a way that it will impact those around you and the people in your community and the people all around the world. And today, let's go to look at Moses, a man that had to make a choice concerning the cause for which to live. And because of his choice, he was greatly used by God. He was able to receive the Ten Commandments. He led the children of Israel out of their 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And he wrote the first five books of the Bible. That's Moses. He was a man that God used in an amazing way to accomplish an amazing task. Because Moses chose God and made several important choices about his life, he became one of the prominent characters in the scriptures. And by the choices he made, Moses settled four key issues in life that the followers of Jesus Christ must settle too. The four issues that the followers of Jesus need to settle. Number one is the issue of identity. Who are you? Who am I? Second is the issue of responsibility. What am I going to do with this life? What are you going to do with your life, God-given life? And the third one is the issue of priority. What is really the most important thing in your life? The fourth one is the issue of difficulty. How much I am willing to commit to. What I'm going to give my life for. Now, these are the very issues that every one of us, the disciples, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, will have to deal with. And yes, Moses made the right choice in each instance. And these issues have become the four foundations for a life that counts for Jesus. The very life that counts for Jesus. Number one, discover what God made you to be. That's the issue, identity. Discover what God made you to be. Moses was born a slave, a Hebrew slave. He was raised a grandson to Pharaoh in the Egyptian palace. You can read the story, the account in Exodus chapter 1, Exodus chapter 2, Exodus chapter 3. And at that time, Moses had an identity crisis. He had to decide, am I Jewish or am I Egyptian? Am I a slave or am I a royalty? And the major consequences of that decision would affect the rest of his life. And if he chooses to say, I'm Pharaoh's grandson, so he has fame, he has fortune, he has a life of luxury, a promising career, being heir to the throne. If he chooses to say, I'm Jewish, of Jewish heritage, of Jewish slaves, he'll be rejected. He will be despised. He will be thrown out, humiliated, and he'll live the rest of his life a slave. And he will be losing his life from the eyes of Egypt, from the eyes of the world. But you know what? Moses made the right choice because he refused to live a life of a lie. He did not waste his life in the Egyptian court. You know what? One great factor that God used was the godly influence of a godly mother. Her name, Jochebed. So mothers, do not underestimate the influence that you give to your children. Remember Moses. He made this decision in verse 24. We are told that by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And the word refuse means to disown, to reject, to leave no door open. It's settled. It's done. And we are told in Acts chapter 7, in verses 22 to 25, all right, the word of God says that Moses was taught all the wisdom. It's there. Acts 7, 22, 25. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he became mighty in both speech and action. One day when he was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. And during this visit, he saw an Egyptian mistreating a man of Israel. So Moses came to his defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his brothers would realize that God had sent him to rescue them. Meaning to say, before this time, Moses had already that realization that God had called him and sent him, would like to send him to rescue his people from the Egyptian slavery. But they refused. He was a great man on his way to become the next Pharaoh of Egypt. But there came a time when he had to decide who he was going to be. Was he going to be an Egyptian and live for the cause of Egypt, or an Israelite and live for the rest of his life for the cause of the self-existent, covenant-keeping God? As a Pharaoh, he would rule Egypt. As an Israelite, he would lead his people out of bondage. What choice did he make? He chose to be identified with the people of the self-existent, eternal God, Yahweh, Jehovah. Identified with his own people and gave up the fame and the power of Egypt. Moses knew that God had a plan, God had a purpose for his life, and he chose that life that God had for him. Brothers and sisters, my fellow disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us discover what God has made us to be. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are his witnesses. We are his lights, luminaries. We are the salt of the earth, and let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Number two, accept that God-given responsibility for your life. You need to accept the responsibility that God has given you when he saved you by his grace. In verse 25, we have Moses refusing. He chose to be mistreated along the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. In verse 25, he chose Moses. We see Moses choosing. 24, refusing. 25, choosing. And that's really weird to lots of people. Choosing to be mistreated? Yes, that's weird. But Moses made that choice with the right attitude and with the right perspective with the people of God. He knows his identity. He knows he has the responsibility, and he follows that negative action, refusing, with a positive one, choosing. In verse 23, God chose Moses as a baby, but in verse 25, it was Moses who chose God. How did he do that? Verse 24, he did it by faith. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, it is something that you can think about that verse and you can see this. Faith in God is very important. And maturity in the faith is also very important. And that's when people start accepting responsibility for their own lives. As a baby, it was okay for Moses to live off his parents' faith, Amram and Jochebed. However, when he had grown up, when he established a personal relationship with Yahweh by faith, and he was able to grow in that faith, he was able to make the decision that he needed to make. He had to go God's way because he knew that's the best way. There are just three facts of life that sometimes we need to accept. First, you cannot live off other people's spiritual commitment. Sometimes you hear people say, my parents are Christians, my dad, my mom, they're missionaries, my husband, my wife is a believer. So what? You need a personal relationship with God through Jesus. Some of you are young people, teenagers. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up in faith. You need to quit living off the spiritual apron strings of your parents or your grandparents and get your own personal relationship with God by faith. When Moses grew up, he chose. Second, you cannot blame others for the direction of your life. You cannot blame others for the direction of your life. Society says the exact opposite. It says, it's not your fault. You're the product of your environment. So you've got to blame others if you fail. Blame others? Blame other people for your messed up life? Well, the way you spell blame is be lame. When you're blaming, you're being lame. You cannot blame other people for the direction of your life. It's your life. It's your God-given life. You have a responsibility. You cannot control all the circumstances, yes, but you can choose how you respond. Third, you can ruin your life. No one can ruin your life except you. Say, I'm free to choose my response. Yes, God won't force you to live for his cause. He won't force you. You have the responsibility. So if you're going to make your life count, you need to settle the issue of what is really important. Just clarify it in your life. And yes, Moses clarified his values and priorities. In verse 26, it says, he regarded this grace for the sake of Christ. Verse 26. He regarded this grace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking ahead to his reward. The word regarded means to evaluate, to consider, to weigh in the balances, to judge. So it is not something that you do quickly or hastily. You need to sit down and seriously consider, what in the world am I living for? What are you living for tonight? And Moses evaluated what Egypt had to offer to him. And he evaluated, on the other hand, what God had to offer. And the result of his evaluation, he learned that what Egypt had to offer was only temporary. And what God has to offer is eternal. Eternal blessing, pleasure of God. And then he chose to go with God. What Egypt had to offer was nothing compared to the glory, to the reward of what God had to offer. And yes, many people have never done that. And that's why they're miserable. they're defeated. You need to establish values in life, things that you will build your life on, the things that will be important to you from the very perspective of God's word. Why? The fact is, if you don't decide what is important in your life, others will do it for you. If you don't decide what's valuable for your life, what you're going to build your life on, other people will. And the world is more than happy to pressure you into its mold and to promote its value system on you. And we have a lot of Christians today who know the Lord, but they bought into the world's value system. One foot on the Lord, the other foot on the world. Wow. They're living a system, that system, without even thinking about it rationally. They have automatically adapted it. What's the world system so far? The world system is this: power, prestige, pleasure, and possessions. I want to be influential and famous. Power and prestige. I want to feel good. I want to be happy. I want to have fun. I want to make a fortune to make money. I want to be wealthy. All temptations actually fall into one of these three categories. And what is ironic is that, by the world standards, Moses had them all. Power, he was heir to the throne of the most powerful country of the world at the time. Pleasure, every whim and desire of his would be satisfied in the palace of Egypt. He was on an easy street. Possessions, the wealth of the world was concentrated in Egypt. Moses had it all, but Moses rejected them. He walked away from them, and he chose the cause of God. He chose the cause of God. Remember this, you cannot serve two masters. The problem with many Christians today is that they're afraid to say no to the world system. But what you lose when you do not say no is your happiness. Because compromise only makes you miserable. When you try to live for the Lord and at the same time live for the world, if it cannot just be done. It makes you miserable. You have to learn to say no with conviction. No to the world, yes to the Lord. Amen? Amen. And Moses had that value system. What were they? God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. God's people are more valuable than pleasures. Yes, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. They were in slavery at the time. Rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin just for a short time, for a short season. And God's peace is more valuable than possessions. Than possessions. So he rejects the world's measure of success. In verse 25, he rejects the world's pleasure. In verse 26, he rejects the world's treasure. Why? Because he was looking for what? He was looking ahead to his reward. Who was his reward? The gracious Lord, reigning with him. That was his reward. What is our reward? Reigning with Christ. If we suffer with him, we will also, you know what follows, reign with him. Number four in the last, it's 7:54. Stay focused on God and his purpose for your life. Stay focused. You never lose focus of God or your goal. That's the issue of difficulty. Never lose focus of God or your goal despite the fact that it's difficult. It's hard. You must stay. Look at verse 27 here. By faith he left Egypt, Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. That's another paradox there. How can you see that which cannot be seen? Invisible. But by faith, Moses was able to see the invisible. Look, what did he do? He persevered. That's the key there. Persevered. The word persevered. So now remember, he left Egypt. He stayed focused on God. He stayed focused on his purpose. He's calling for his life, no matter how difficult it was. Yes, people whose lives count are focused. They know how to focus on one thing. You constantly keep it before you. What's the key there? Perseverance. Moses persevered. Persistence, steadfastness, that's the key to a productive, effective, God's definition of a success in the life of a disciple. And yes, Moses had shown tremendous endurance. He refused to give up no matter what happened. Impossible situations, his critics, so many challenges, whatever. And Moses spent most of his life waiting. Remember that from the time that God gave Moses the vision, that message of setting free an entire nation after 400 years of slavery, to that time it was fulfilled, that they were ready to go into the promised land, it was 80 years. 80 years. Could you wait that long and not give up? You single ladies and men, could you wait that long and say, Lord, I'm still waiting for the right man or for the right woman? If God tells you something and it doesn't happen until 80 years later, the question, will you still stay focused? Would you still be continue to be persevering? He spent 40 years in Midian just waiting for God to say, let's go. Let's start. Do you ever get tired of waiting on God? Do delays ever tempt you to just give up? Have you not learned that God's delays are not his denials? One of the tests of faith is how long can you wait? How persevering you are. How must keep your eye on the vision, on the goal, on what really counts in life, so that you don't get disheartened, you don't get discouraged. Remember what the writer of Hebrews says in verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on whom? On Jesus. That's the key. We have, let us run with perseverance and let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Those two go together. You cannot divorce one from the other. They go together. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, you're going to run with persistence, you're going to run with perseverance, you're going to run with steadfastness. And as the unchosen, uncontrolled circumstances come your way into your life, we choose to bear them as a way to daily die for Jesus' sake, for Jesus' glory, and for Jesus' honor. Tonight, what have you got your eyes on? How many of these issues have you settled in your life? Have you settled the issue of identity? Who are you? If people would ask you, who are you? Well, you say, I'm a Christian. Do you know about what that means? A Christian? A Christian. because I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Buddhist, so I'm a Christian. Sure? I'm a true believer of Jesus. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever I am. And that directs and determines how you live, your identity. Have you figured out the issue of responsibility based on your identity? You are an ambassador for Christ. Are you doing the job of being an ambassador? You're a witness, a martus. Are you doing the work of a martyr or a witness? You're the light, a reflector, you know, a reflector. Jesus Christ is the sun, we are the moon and the stars. We reflect his light to the world. Is your life a luminary? That's your responsibility. Have you settled the issue of priority? What really matters in your life? What really counts? And have you settled the issue of staying focused even though life is difficult? My dear fellow servants, ministry is not easy. Look at my head. Life of a pastor is not easy. Pastor Gary, you still have a lot of... But shall I give up? And give in to the temptation to give up? What should be my answer? No! I should continue because I know that my work for the Lord will not go in vain. If you are here tonight and you have not yet settled the issue of establishing a personal relationship to God through Christ, then you really have to settle it tonight. If you are here and you are not yet so sure about your relationship with God, you haven't repented of your sins yet, and you haven't accepted, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, please do so tonight. You don't have to procrastinate. That's very important. My fellow believers, a question tonight is this. Are you making your life count? If you're making your life count, the next question is, for whom? It should be for the cause of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. Eternal God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for speaking to us through your word. And it is my prayer that your people will just respond appropriately, will respond by faith and submission and obedience. Be honored in the way we respond to this message.